This is Radio Boston. I'm Sasha Pfeiffer.
And I'm Anthony Brooks.
The online retail giant Amazon got lots of press when it recently announced that in the not-so-distant future, it hopes to use unmanned drones to deliver packages. Here's Amazon CEO Jeff Bezos talking to Charlie Rose on CBS's 60 Minutes.
The hardest challenge in making this happen is going to be demonstrating to the standards of the FAA
that
this is a safe thing to do. You know, I don't want anybody to think this is just around the corner. This is years of additional work from this point.
But well, years but means 5, 10.
I'm an optimist, Charlie. 4, 5 years? I think so.
But the prospect of squadrons of drones whizzing around over our heads and homes raises some pretty big questions. Like, really? And how would that work exactly? Comedian Stephen Colbert summed it up best.
There's the drone picking up the package and flying out of the warehouse, navigating through the parts of America with no trees, phone lines, or buildings, then landing on your doorstep while your family cowers inside until after the semi-autonomous blade-wielding octocopter leaves.
Octocopter, is that truly coming soon, or is it just a futuristic fantasy?
It's sometimes tough to sort out what's a gimmick and what's really the future of robotic vehicles. Are more drones coming? Well, yeah, sure, but what will they look like? What will they do, and when will they get here? Joining me now to talk about a lot of those questions, the future of drones, is Holly Yanko. She's a professor at UMass Lowell and runs the school's robotic testing facility there. And Holly Yanko, welcome to Radio Boston. Good to have you.
Thank you very much.
And listeners, are you searching the skies for that Amazon drone for your next book delivery? Do you worry that one will fly through your yard or maybe through your living room window? Can you envision a world where you have your own drone? Give us a call, 800-423-8255. That's 800-423-TALK. We're also on Facebook and Twitter at Radio Boston. So, Holly, I want to talk about how this might work, when this might work. You know, we heard Amazon's Jeff Bezos create quite a stir there when he talked about this. Clearly, it was a great publicity coup for his company, but it raises a whole bunch of questions, chief among them, you know, is this a matter of years? He talked about 4 or 5 years. What do you think?
I think right now everybody's really waiting for the FAA to issue their rules, which are estimated to come out in 2015. And before the FAA really issues these rulings, it's hard to really know what's going to be allowed. I mean, are we going to really be allowed to take these drones and bring them into urban areas at low altitudes?
Right. So those rules coming out from the FAA 2015, what would these rules do? These would essentially dictate how these drones would have to be regulated?
Basically, the use of all drones here in the United States in our national airspace. And, you know, obviously the FAA is very concerned. We don't want to have these drones interact with our aircraft, our manned aircraft that are out there now.
Yeah.
And how do we get people to be safe while they're flying these aircraft and people safe on the ground as well?
So according to the FAA's latest estimates, 7,500 unmanned aerial drones will be in commercial use in the next 5 years, they're guessing, many of them for very mundane things, like watching for forest fires, monitoring for crops. What other types of jobs would drones be used for domestically?
Border Patrol is very interested in using drones. State police, I mean, all sorts of law enforcement is looking at using drones. Obviously, you have Jeff Bezos talking about using them for Amazon for deliveries. There was a hit on YouTube, I think, about a year or so ago with the taco copter delivering tacos to people and bringing food that way. But I think you're looking at real differences when you're talking about, say, doing border patrol or looking at forest fires. You're at a higher altitude than you are if you're bringing deliveries to somebody's front doorstep.
Yeah, right. Well, let me ask you about just sort of where the technology is and where it needs to go. Because, I mean, we know, for example, that drones are already out there. The military uses them with deadly effectiveness. But before a plan to deliver packages, what Amazon is talking about, aren't there some technical challenges that need to be worked out? For instance, battery life. Isn't that an issue?
Sure. Batteries are a problem for any robot system. When you're looking at how far it can go, Bezos has said in his interview that they're looking at basically a 10-mile range for these copters. So they're looking at very densely packed urban areas, which has its own issue there. But you're not going to be able to travel very far with them if you're carrying heavy items. It's also going to reduce your battery life as well.
Yeah. So how far away is the technology? I mean, let's stick with Jeff Bezos' idea. 10 miles for 30-minute flights. My understanding is that current batteries wouldn't be up to that. How far away are we to allow that kind of flying?
batteries, in some sense, are the holy grail of robotics. And what we've seen over the last couple of decades is that while processors have gotten much smaller, much faster, much more efficient, batteries really haven't kept up with that. Mm. So we haven't gotten much smaller batteries that last a whole lot longer. We've had some improvement, but not that exponential improvement that we've had with processor speed.
Yeah. And Holly, what about what other challenges are out there? I mean, let's talk about these drones in a densely packed neighborhood. What about safety, of course? I mean, things that fly occasionally crash to the ground. What about safety?
Safety is certainly an issue. I would say another issue might be liability. If somebody looks at Amazon and thinks that they're a very wealthy company, what could they do to maybe get themselves hurt by one, which of course is crazy, but there are crazy folks out there. I think there are other people who might be concerned about privacy. Mm-hmm. Certainly when Google Maps was driving around mapping all of the areas, people were unhappy about having themselves caught on those images, and maybe they wouldn't want to be seen by the drones as well.
Now, I know that Massachusetts Senator Ed Markey has used the Amazon announcement to push for a privacy bill around drones. He says, before our skies teem with commercial drones, clear rules need to be set to protect the privacy. He doesn't want flying robots from becoming spying robots. So how big a concern is that in your view? And are we having, here's the question I want to ask, are we having that conversation? Because this technology seems to be coming at us really quickly. And I'm just wondering if you think this sort of needed debate and conversation in this country around the use of these domestic drones needs to go deeper.
I think certainly people are concerned with privacy and having this discussion. There was a town in the Western U.S. who was issuing hunting permits for drones that flew over their land, which is crazy if you think about it. You're shooting down something. But on the other hand, people are concerned about being spied on by these drones. But if you look at the Amazon application, likely they're not going to be, you know, looking to see who they're, you know, delivering to and trying to get faces and do face recognitions and things like that. If they do have video on those drones, they're probably doing it to make sure that somebody, a human in the loop, is delivering the package to the right place.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he was talking about having this autonomous delivery, but yet when you look at GPS, there's error in that coordinate. So if you're going to deliver, you know, 2 to 3 feet off in a densely packed urban area, you might deliver to the wrong house.
Sure.
So they might need to have somebody watching a video feed to determine that they're delivering to the right house. So there's some video there, but, you know, will they be recording it? Maybe for liability issues. I don't know.
Hmm.
So that is something to think about if there is those privacy concerns.
And sort of another challenge, thinking about a delivery system in a densely packed world. I mean, for instance, what if you live on the fifth floor in an apartment building? How does that work, for example?
Clearly, you need indoor micro UAVs to finish the delivery. Maybe we're looking at a world where in densely packed urban areas, you start putting landing pads on your roof. Instead of packages coming to your front door, they come to your roofs. That would be one way that these maybe could be introduced, because it's really not realistic. I mean, think about Manhattan. Could you really fly these small UAVs into Manhattan and find a doorstep and leave it there in a way that, first of all, somebody wouldn't steal it, but that you get to the right door? Whereas maybe if you could deliver to a roof, that would be a bit safer, wouldn't be stolen, we wouldn't be coming in contact with as many pedestrians.
I also read about a proposal that envisioned sort of pickup and drop-off centers more toward the outskirts of towns and cities. So they would still be delivered by the drones, but there would be basically landing pads away from densely inhabited areas.
But does that really speed up the delivery to your home then? Is that any faster really than having UPS or FedEx drive it to your door?
Yeah, it's a good question. Listeners, we're talking with Holly Yanko. She's a professor in the computer science department at UMass Lowell, also the director of the New England Robotics Validation and Experimentation Center. And we're talking about the reality of drones coming to a neighborhood near you. What do you think of this? What questions do you have about the technology? 800-423-8255. That's 800-423-TALK. Let's take a call. Joe is calling from Bedford. Hi, Joe. You're on the air.
Hi. How you doing?
Very well, thanks. What's on your mind?
Well, I actually got into the hobby of building RC drones about last year. Fairly inexpensive at first, and then you kind of get hooked on it. But some of the technology is actually fairly far in advance on an enthusiast level. The drone that I had built is about 2 feet by 2 feet. On a standard 1,200 millivolt battery, I can get about 15 minutes of flight out of it. And at the moment, I can only fly it by my point of sight. But there's fairly inexpensive FPV units out there that you can actually have set up to a video goggle that you would wear and be able to fly that drone alone just by yourself up to 2.5 miles before your transmitter wouldn't be able to make a connection any farther than that. But then you can build a small little radio tower yourself and push out your radius.
So Joe,
3 or 4 miles.
So Joe, I have a question for you, and I'm going to ask Holly the same question, but while I have you on the line, what is the difference between what you're doing there, and you call it a drone, versus a remote-controlled sort of hobby aircraft that have been around for a long, long time?
There's really not a whole lot of difference at the point right now. There's some sophisticated receivers out there and transmitters that have that are actually built off of an old video game console controller that have programmable hover options and return home options that you could set a waypoint and it will fly completely autonomously and you have to put in no input whatsoever and then flip a switch and have it come right back to you or go to another waypoint, hold at a specific altitude. It's gotten, I think personally, a little bit farther than just hobbying. They're using them now to film movies. Some of them go for big money. I've seen simple builds go for $18,000.
Got it, Joe. I want to thank you so much for the call, for putting this idea on the table. But Holly, I'd like to hear you from that, because I was sort of thinking about this. Actually, when I was younger, I used to, I got interested for a while in these remote controlled aircraft. What's the difference between that and a drone?
I think that Joe is right that in terms of technology, there's a lot of similarities. Mm. But I do think that when you have hobbyists with RC airplanes, a lot of times they're flying them at dedicated airports for the RC craft. So that's something that the FAA allows in these areas for hobbyists to fly.
And at lower altitudes, presumably, right?
At lower altitudes. Well, I mean, the Amazon drones have to come in pretty low to deliver,
too. That's true,
too.
Yeah.
So, but, you know, certainly the FAA is allowing this to happen in hobbyist airports. But I think also the hobbyists are really keeping in view of their planes. While they're flying, they can see them. And maybe they're setting waypoints and they're getting a little bit farther afield, but they're not going as far or as unwatched as you would have with these delivery unmanned robots.
Let's go to Steve, who's calling from Cambridge. Hi, Steve. You're on the air.
Anthony, I have two quick comments for your guest. And one of them is, isn't this kind of like the consumer culture gone to the point of absurdity? And the second comment is, when Ed Markey, I think it is, talks about privacy, I mean, the whole concept of privacy is so vague. How can you possibly fashion laws that would satisfy anybody that would pass constitutional muster?
It's a good question. I know, Holly Anko, you're a computer science expert, not a sort of a constitutional law expert, but take a crack at Steve's question.
You know, in terms of the consumer culture, it is kind of crazy to think about that you might need a delivery in, you know, 30 minutes as opposed to same day, which Amazon has already introduced. But in terms of privacy, I think there are a lot of issues, not just with the drones, but with all of computers, computer science, all the information that, you know, the NSA is collecting. But forget the NSA. How about Google? How about, you know, just Amazon? And they know every purchase that I've ever made. I mean, they make good recommendations, but they know everything that I've bought already.
Yeah, it's a really good set of questions that you put on the table, Steve. Thanks so much. Let's take another call. Elliot is calling from Newton. Hi, Elliot. You're on the air.
Yeah, hi. I was actually more just curious. I know that Amazon, there was all this splash that came out when Amazon, you know, made this announcement stuff. I'm wondering if other organizations, even like the post office, FedEx, UPS, if they're also debating these kind of things for smaller packages. I know that this isn't for large packages, but I would assume like the mail would be a very easy thing to move from place to place with drones. Is that already happening?
That's a really interesting question, Elliot. Holly, do we know about that?
Soon after Amazon's announcement, Google actually announced that they were looking at similar types of deliveries, however, using their automated cars and with maybe a humanoid robot getting out of those cars to deliver. So they're looking at more ground-based delivery, but certainly other large companies are looking at doing these drone type of deliveries, but rather than air, looking at ground instead.
I'm curious, too, you know, the legal climate for drones in the U.S., pretty uncertain now. I mean, if you consider that Amazon had to conduct their test of their drone outside the U.S., I'm just curious, do we know if this technology is farther along or might take root out of the U.S. before it does inside the U.S.?
It could potentially do that. Certainly that happens a lot in the medical domain, that things are tested, say, in Europe before they're brought over here to the U.S. So the technology could be tested there. I really think, again, we're looking at that 2015 rule issue from the FAA to help provide some guidance.
Let's take another call. We're talking about drones. The future is here. Teresa is calling from Roslindale. Teresa, you're on the air.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I just feel like it's a bit ridiculous that we're, you know, even talking about trying to get a drone to deliver us something from Amazon. You know, I always try to think that it's important. They already have the same day delivery, like you guys said earlier, and I try to remember that there is a human being on the end of my mouse click in a warehouse somewhere that has to get this thing off the shelf, put it in a box, and send it over to me. I can't imagine that I need their fingertips to move any faster just for me to get it in 30 minutes, you know?
So do you see utility and value in the idea, though, in this technology, Teresa?
I think if it's for a medical kind of concern, like life or death situation, we're trying to get a transplant to somebody, we're trying to get blood to somebody, they, you know, that it's a really serious life or death concern. But for me to get my T-shirt in the next 30 minutes when I can't just, I mean, why couldn't I just go to a store and buy it myself?
Yeah.
That big of an emergency, you know?
Teresa, I'm really grateful for the call. Holly, there's Teresa talking about sort of that idea that I think the previous caller put on the air, kind of consumerism run amok. But, I mean, she raised the point about using these drones for really valid and important reasons. I mean, we did a piece, actually, we featured you in this piece a few months back, and one of the drones that was being developed right outside of Boston, I think up in Danvers, was to do bridge inspections down the road. The idea of saving people from the potentially dangerous work of having to strap themselves with a harness underneath a bridge. They could just send up a drone, take the pictures, and understand what kind of maintenance work. So a lot of other uses other than just delivering T-shirts in 30 minutes.
Absolutely. And I mean, look, cynics have suggested, I mean, the timing of that release was awfully convenient. It came out the night before Cyber Monday, mm-hmm. and they got a lot of press. But Amazon actually is interested in using other robotics technology. Back in March of 2012, they bought a local company here in Massachusetts, Kiva Systems. And Kiva actually helps with warehouse, picking those, you know, as Teresa had mentioned, picking up those items out of the warehouse. Now, they're not getting rid of people. The thing that the robots do is they actually bring the shelving units to the people who are packing those boxes. So Amazon, I think, has a strong interest in robotics overall. This is a splash. Whether or not this will turn out to actually be a valid delivery method for them, I don't know. I think there's a lot of issues with it, as we've talked about already. But it's really heartening, I think, as a roboticist to see Amazon making large investments in robotics, seeing Google make large investments in robotics, and to see the big robotics economy that we have here in the state of Massachusetts.
That's the next thing I wanted to ask you about. Tell us about that, because this really is sort of ground zero for the robotics industry, isn't it?
Absolutely. There are over 10 universities here in Massachusetts doing research in robotics. We have iRobot is one of our large companies. Here, there have been second-generation companies spinning out of iRobot, including SciFi, which is that drone company you were just mentioning. And so we have over 100 companies here in the state of Massachusetts that are either building robots, writing software for robots, or building sensors or other support systems for robots. It's a great economy.
Mm. So tell us more about what they're developing. What kinds of robots are being developed here in Massachusetts that we might not sort of imagine immediately?
Everything. I mean, so stuff you've already heard about is, you've probably heard more about our robots that are helping our soldiers for IEDs. Mm-hmm. But then you have...
You mean a robot that will go in and disarm a bomb.
Rather than having to send a person downrange to just defuse a bomb, you can send a robot to do that instead. But we have companies who are developing telepresence robots that can allow people to telecommute, or even better, there's a doctor at Children's Hospital who sends his young patients home with a robot. And then he does his follow-up care with them through the robot. So rather than trying to talk to a child on the phone, which he's had problems with, and sometimes they have to bring the kids back to the hospital for follow-up visits, they love to talk to him through the robot, and they're having much better aftercare with that robot.
Really interesting. A couple more calls. Let's go to Scott, who's calling from Scituate. Hi, Scott. You're on the air.
Hi. I just wanted to make a few points. I know we think that drones is a technology that's so far in the future, but we've got these things in our backyard. We've got certain drones like mowing our lawns, robots like mopping our floors, vacuuming our kitchens and everything. And it may seem like it's kind of far away, but it's coming up pretty fast. And I don't know if we got to prepare for it or whatever, but I also like to make the point that it's also a very difficult task, especially with the little octo helicopter thing that they're suggesting to fly around little packages. Especially if you look at cities like metro areas like Boston, air currents that high up to get the drones out of the way of like telephone lines and traffic, to get a drone that high up and to withstand those wind currents, like you said, 3 or 4 feet left or right, because of those air currents, you're in someone else's lawn and you're delivering the package to the wrong place.
Right. Scott, thanks so much for that call. I mean, Holly, I mean, I do want to come back to this idea because flight is an ambitious thing to do. I mean, we, as our caller just mentioned, you know, we do have drones already doing all kinds of things. But when you talk about little drones navigating all of those sort of the precariousness of the third dimension to get off the ground, it's a much more sophisticated set of technologies, isn't it?
Oh, and just imagine the weather we've had over the last couple of days between the sleet, between the snow we've had. How do you deliver in that with such light copters? They've already looked at the packages need to be light. What if you start getting a coating of ice on top of that? That causes problems already for large aircraft. It's going to be even worse for these smaller ones.
Yeah. Let's take one more call. Alex is calling from Sherbourne. Hi, Alex. You're on the air.
Hi. I'm just wondering, you know, how far off are we from robots doing everything for us? You know, you put in online what you want to get from, you know, your local supermarket, and the robots go out and pick your vegetables and catch fish and, you know, do everything for you, and that really being the normal of society rather than, you know, this new and crazy, you know, drones doing some things for us.
Got it, Alex. I mean, I think the sort of point of Alex's question, Holly, is sort of how far does this go? I mean, when you're a roboticist, how far do you imagine this going? I mean, where are we in a half a century with robots?
Certainly we'll have more of them. And, you know, there are lots of robots out there now, including, you know, 10 million vacuum cleaning robots. But I think that the task that the caller was talking about having the robot pick the vegetables and catch mm-hmm. the fish. One thing that's really, really difficult for robots right now is human level manipulation. So the robot hands that are out there are really not that good. They're not going to deal very well with, you know, delicate picking and those sorts of things. People are certainly looking at that, but they're not building hands. They're building more like a suction cup and things like that to
all
pick
right.
some fruit.
So that's one of the challenges that certainly. Technology has yet to master. Holly Yanko, professor in the Computer Science Department at UMass Lowell. She's also the director of the New England Robotics Validation and Experimentation Nerve Center. Holly Yanko, thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
Real pleasure talking to you. Listeners, stay with us. Coming up, we talk sports with Only a Game's Bill Littlefield. I'm Anthony Brooks with Sasha Pfeiffer. This is Radio Boston.